my mind that I thought was awesome is that he has a desire to create different experiences for our young people. Things like mission trips or service projects, not just studying the Bible together. Obviously, that's very important. Not just worshiping together, not just studying the Bible together, but to become a servant, to get out and serve, to get out and to be exposed to all kinds of things so that they can become fully formed followers of Jesus. That is awesome. That's what we're talking about. These habits will require rules and immersive experiences to check and test us. But there are lots of other habits and things like scripture reading and scripture meditation and scripture memorization, worship, giving, fasting, serving. All of these are experiences that are going to help us to become the people that we're describing, the people where virtues ooze from, that are community central and focused, working together within the body, who have a vast production of spiritual fruit. But let me tell you something. If you've tried to start new habits, you've probably run into a problem, haven't you? Yeah. New habits, that kind of falls in the same category as resolutions. Yeah. And they're usually here today and gone tomorrow. And the reason that is because either we forget them, or they're hard. They're usually not fun. They usually seem hard to start. And you're soon going to want to quit. You have an enemy. It's that fleshly self that is going to come up and is going to give you 100 reasons why you should not do what it is that you know you should be doing. How do I know this? Because it's happened to me many, many, many times. We come up with all kinds of excuses. I'm too busy. There has to be a better way. It can't be this. There's got to be some other way, some handy-dandy spiritual guide that will get me where I want to go in God. That's not this. This is too hard. And we don't get the results that we want quick enough. It just seems difficult. Yep, that's right. But listen, as these habits become second nature, this world conforming, which Paul says don't do it in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to this world. My desire and my drive to conform to this world will fade. It will begin to transform and fade. And in its place will be a vision of God's kingdom that will grow within me. Successful tests reveal the ability to respond with spontaneity, instinctively, following Jesus, just like he promised us in, again, Romans chapter 12, the last part. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you don't have this maturity formula working within your life, you will never be able to get there. And you'll never be a fully formed follower of Jesus. So we need to know our numbers, kind of, as we wrap up this morning. 3-1-9. Can you get that in your head? 3-1-9. When I see you on the street, even behind your mask, if you're wearing a mask, I will track you down and I will ask you, what are the three numbers? So you better know, or I'll breathe on you. No, I won't breathe. Don't do that. But let's get this. Let's think about this. We need to start by getting it in our head. And I want you to know that as a preacher, as a pastor, as one who has been granted the grace and the privilege to be in the position that I am in right now, my goal is to live out Ephesians chapter 4, 12 to 13, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's what, as a minister of Christ, that's what I've been tasked with. That's what this church is about. And so that's where we're going to move and go forward. And so let me just encourage you in that today. I know we've given kind of a big world view of this. There's lots of things to talk about, and we will. We will go into it in more and more detail. But for right now, let me just encourage you to do a couple of things. First of all, to embrace who you are in Christ. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You are redeemed. And so, brothers and sisters, let's celebrate the fact that our sins have been forgiven, that God has promised us an eternal home, but let us then embrace what He's called us to be. He's called me and you to be ambassadors and to be a royal priesthood. I don't know what that means, you say. Well, that's why we're focusing on this. And we will show you more in complete detail how to do that so that we can do that well together. But it starts, frankly, with you. Accepting what God's Word says in these critical areas. And so I want to pray for you right now and pray for us as a congregation that we would be able to hear this and grow in it together. Would you pray with me? Father, it is a pleasure for us to be able to gather in this way to open your word and to hear your methodologies for the wonderful idealistic things that you have set out for your people. We are so thankful for the forgiveness that we sense because of Jesus' sacrifice. We are so happy about the idea that when our time on this world is over, that you have a plan for us. But Father, I pray that we would, as we reflect upon those good things, accept the fact that there is another good thing that you have ready for us to embrace right now, and that is the idea of working in your kingdom as an ambassador within the royal priesthood. And so I pray this morning, Father, that while this may not completely be understood by us all, it may be a new concept, it may be something that has you asking so many questions, I pray, Father, that we would lean into you and into one another and into your word and your spirit, that we would hear what you have to say to us and accept this so that we can, on that day when we see you, hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Right now, Peyton is going to come and lead us in a time of decision. And as we sing together, I just want to encourage you, if you are a follower of Jesus right now, if you're already a Christian, you already have a, you know, if you're an Itawamba Christian Church person, this time is for you too. This is a time for you maybe to make a decision about just what we've been talking about. To say, I'm going to fully cooperate. I'm going to plug in. I realize it's going to mean some new habits and some changes. But I'm up for it because Jesus was up for it. If you are someone who's watching this, you are a follower of Jesus, you don't have a church home, man, we want to talk with you. And I know that's tough right now, but we can do this. Okay, I saw a thing on the news last night where some guy in New York City was able to establish a relationship with a woman, and now they're dating him. They were on two separate places in New York City, about a block apart, and they were able to do it. They've been able to communicate. They've been able to have a date without ever even really being close to each other. If they can do that, we can figure out how to talk with you and help you. And so, would you just reach out? We'd love to help you with that. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you are missing out on what God made you to be. And I'm sorry, but that's the truth. And we want to help you figure that out as well. We want you to be the person God made you to be. Whatever's on your heart, we invite you to come right now. Let's stand together. Pray together as we dismiss. And now, Father, as we leave this time of worship, as we go and continue our separate ways, I pray that we would sense your presence, that we would know that while we're going through this, we are not alone, that you are with us, that we can call upon you, that we have a church family that we can call upon, Now, Father, help us to be strong. Help us to be examples to those around us. Help us to be good citizens and good neighbors. But most importantly, let us just show what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.